18. Genesis chapter 18. We're going to read verses 10 through 14. Genesis chapter 18, as soon as you find it, let's stand as we do so for the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 18. We're going to read these verses responsively. I'll start, and you read, and I'll read, and so forth. Genesis chapter 18, starting with verse number 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Verse 14 together. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, as we open up your book, we talk about your goodness, your blessings, your love this morning. I pray, God, that you will fill thy servant. Help me to say the words that you'd want said. I pray, God, that you'd comfort hearts this morning. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today I realize in a church like this, you have many different people going through different things. Some here this morning, you might be on the mountaintop, things probably going pretty well. But others, you may be on your way down. We talk about that. Others, you may be wondering, how in the world can I go another day? There may be some bearing some heavy burdens here today. You even wonder, can I make it tomorrow? Can I make it to tomorrow? Maybe this week, disappointments have come. Maybe bereavement, health, finances, discouragement, heartache, heartbreak. You say, preacher, I just can't keep going. This is just too hard for me. You feel just when you take a couple steps, maybe you've been there, I've been there, you take two steps forward to victory, you wind up falling three steps back. And you feel that the headway that you make, you feel like you're going nowhere. And it's just too hard. Maybe you're here today and you, maybe on your back, so to speak, if you will, you've got this big, heavy burden. You had all you could do to maybe climb them steep stairs that are outside our doors. Maybe you had all you could do just to get up this morning because you felt like, can I make it another day? You felt like, can I really make it to church? Can I really make it tomorrow? Can I make it through to the next week? You say, it's just too hard. Well, let me just say, it's not hard for God. There is not a problem here this morning that's too small that God cannot handle or fix. There's not a problem here this morning that's too big that God cannot handle. In our text, you're going to find Abraham's wife, Sarah. She was a barren lady. It was said that she could not have a child. There's nothing more than there's nothing more to a lady than to be a mother. You know, most ladies, you know, obviously, they desire to have a child. To get married, to be called a wife, to have one that may call her mom. But to a lady, there's no greater job than that. To a lady, there's no greater job to fulfill as a role of mother. Unfortunately, there are times I've talked to young ladies that have been barren. They don't understand it. They desire to be mom. They desire children. They desire to have a child. They just don't understand it. Sarah, no doubt, she felt this way. I believe she longed to be a mom. to give Abraham a child. You know, here is this conversation. Sarah was in her tent, I believe a 90-year-old woman at this time. She overheard the Lord reveal to Abraham that Sarah is going to have a son. And the Bible said she laughed. I mean, she thought, okay, God, what are you, a comic here? She laughed. Abraham, Sarah's going to have a son. And Sarah, who laughed, saying, I'm an old lady. How am I in my old age going to have a child? Let me just say, Sarah, as God responded here, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah, I am the Lord. I am the God of the impossible. God is the God this morning of the impossible. You may not see a way out, but God does. You may not see the mountaintop, but God does. You may not see how you will pay the bills this month, but God does. You may not see how you can mend a broken heart, how He can mend my broken heart, but God does. You may not see the sunlight at the end of the storm, but God does. You just got to keep on hanging in there. There's too many that have a tendency to quit, but don't you quit on God. God sees it. God knows what you're going through this morning. There's no doubt you're here this morning. There's a heavy heart. There's a heavy heart, and you just don't know, but Pastor, I don't think I can make it another day. I don't think I can just keep on keeping on. You say every Sunday morning just to keep on keeping on. But you know what? God knows your need. God knows what you're going to go through. Maybe right now you're on the mountaintop, but this morning we must be prepared for that winter day. This morning we must be prepared for the trouble to come. I wish I could stand here and say as a pastor that once you get saved, it's all going to be peachy. Once you get saved, it's going to be a bed of roses. I wish I could proclaim that this morning. I wish I could say that everything was going to be all right. But let me tell you something this morning. If you're bearing a burden this morning, if you're carrying a heavy burden this morning, I will say everything is all right in my Father's house. There's a chorus that we sing on the buses and the children. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. You say, Pastor, I don't see the joy right now. But let me tell you something. God does. Hey, you know what? Everything is all right somewhere this morning. It is in God's house. You say, well, in my little world right now, it's not all right. But you just keep hanging in there because God will pull you through it. He's the God of the impossible. Don't you turn back. This is a time for you to go ahead and retreat on Him. Because you may not see the way out. Let me just say this. Nothing, I say nothing, I say nothing, I say nothing is too hard for God. Sarah says, I'm too old to have a child. Nothing is too hard, Sarah, for the Lord. Joshua says after the death of Moses, he's the one to go ahead and take Moses' place. Joshua, if you look in Joshua chapter 8, I think it is, or chapter 1, I believe it is, I'm sorry. Joshua says after the death of Moses, can I be the next leader of Israel? I saw all that Moses went through. He was such a great leader. Can I be the next leader of Israel? Can I do the job, the kind of good job that Moses did? Hey, Joshua, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Jesus and his disciples were on a ship, and a big storm came, and the ship was rocking, and the water was filling up in the ship, and the ship was just going back and forth. They feared for their lives. They run to Jesus, who was asleep. I don't know how one can sleep while a ship was rocking back and forth, but Jesus, he was sleeping down below, and the men came crying out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus, he gets up. He goes out into the storm. He stands out there and yells out, Peace. Be still. Hey, let me tell you something. The very same God that yelled, Peace, be still, when the waves were coming, when the storm was brewing, the very same God that was awoken by his men, and he went out and said, Peace, be still, is the very same God that will calm your storm. Hey, what am I trying to say this morning? Disciples, there's nothing too hard for God. Hey, Faith Baptist Church, you're going through a more month than money this month? You wonder, how in the world am I going to pay my mortgage? You wonder, how am I going to go ahead and pay my rent this month? You wonder, how am I going to pay my medical? How am I going to pay for this or pay for this? How am I going to eat this week? Hey, let me just remind you this morning, there's nothing too hard for God. The very same God that stilled the waves, calms a storm. The very same God that can feed 5,000 with just a few loaves and a few fishes is the same God that can settle your heart, that can encourage you when you're down. Why is that? because nothing is too hard for God. Let me just give you a few areas this morning. Number one, is anything too hard for the Lord concerning your situation? You see, we talked a little bit about it this morning. I'm going to use this. Sean was ready. Is anything too hard for the Lord concerning your situation? And our introduction proves that. God knows the need. God knows what you're going through. And he says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That means every single day. That means every single day, whether you are up high or whether you're down low, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He'll see you through it. He'll calm the storm. He'll make your paths straight, the Bible says. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths if you just let him. You know, see, sometimes we start bristling. God, I'm one of these people, man, as I take two steps forward to victory, man, I fall back three steps back, and I feel like I'm never making any headway, and you get to a point where you start bristling, God, this isn't worth it. God, I don't think you quite understand. Yes, God understands. Yes, God understands what you're going through. Yes, God, the very God that spoke this world in existence, the very God that went ahead and calmed the storm, the very God that could help Joshua, a new leader, lead the children of Israel, the murmuring children of Israel, that big crowd to the promised land, is the very same God that can lead and direct you out of the wilderness that you're walking through, can lead and direct you to victory. But you need to go ahead and extend your hand to him. Do you extend your hand to him, or you just keep it back? God, I've been down the battles too many times. I'm tired of fighting the war. Hey, no, I'm going to plead with you this morning, church. You keep extending the hand, and you'll never be more safe than when you just keep extending the hand to God. And every single day, you hold on to his hand. You say, well, Pastor, you know, right now, I'm on the mountaintop. You know, right now, man, things are super. I'm up on the high mountain. Things are great. Hey, you know what? You keep on holding on to his hand. You keep on holding on. Yeah, it's pretty easy right now. Maybe you're sitting here today. Yeah, you know, Pastor, this sermon's not for me this morning. Hey, let me tell you something. Why don't you hide it in your heart? Because someday it will be. Someday it will be. I promise you. I wish I could say that every single one of us, it's going to be super, your life here on earth. Everything's going to be great now that you're saved. And by the way, it is. I'd much rather be heading for heaven than the alternative. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to go ahead and walk up and down the streets of gold. I can't wait to see that mansion that God has created for me. I can't wait to go ahead and look outside my mansion and see a Ford pickup out there that I can drive around. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, just seeing if you're awake here. But the truth of the matter is, I can't wait to walk up and down the streets of gold. I can't wait to go ahead and see the walls of Jack. Oh, you know what? Hey, it's going to be nice seeing the mansion. It's going to be nice seeing that transparent, clear, pure gold that we're going to go ahead and walk up and down. It's going to be nice seeing the streets of gold. It's going to be nice seeing the river of life. It's going to be nice seeing the walls of Jasper. But you know what's going to be nicer? You know what's going to be better than the streets of gold? Do you know what's going to be better than your mansion that you're going to attain? Amen. You know what's going to be better than the walls of Jasper? You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus. This morning, you say, Pastor, the sermon isn't for me right now. You see, I'm on the mountaintop, and boy, things have been pretty good for a while. Boy, my bills are paid. My health is good. I had a physical, and boy, I'm healthy as a horse. I mean, I've been eating McDonald's. I've been eating Burger King. I've been eating pizza, and you know what? I'm still as strong and healthy as a horse. Now, keep going that way. It'll change. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. You say, right now, you're on a mountaintop. Things are really good. But can I just warn you? And may I warn you because I love you. You know what? Right now, that mountaintop eventually, you know, it's going to become a valley. You know, reality, and I speak a lot about it because I know that there's hearts that are broken. But reality isn't always a mountaintop experience. It isn't. And again, I wish I could say it always is.
I wish I could say that, boy, you're always, your situation in every situation in life is always going to be. But you know what? There'll come a valley. You know, there's going to be a time when you might get a health report of a loved one back and it's cancer. There might be a time when you might get a sudden phone call and say that your mama or your daddy passed away, or your grandma or your grandpa. There's going to be a time that, for whatever reason, economic reasons, you go to work and everything's been great at work and you're right up there, but maybe you'll find that pink slip and there's no job. But let me just stop and say this. You know what? Even though you're on the mountaintop and when you do head for the valley, you know what? In both positions, you need to keep on hanging on to the hand of God. You know, in the mountaintop, don't you just keep on hanging on anyways, because there's going to be a time that you're going to need him. There's going to be a time. See, sometimes it's so easy when the bills are paid. So easy when things are going good. Just say, well, okay, yeah, the preacher says and the Bible teaches I should study to show myself approved. But, you know, I don't need to read the Bible today. I'll get to it later. It's so easy when things are going so good to go ahead and just kind of back out. So easy when things are going so well to just kind of back out of the things of God. So easy when maybe you're on the mountaintop and maybe you've been serving in a ministry in church. It's so easy. Well, I don't really need to, you know, someone else can do that. No. You know what? Every single day of your life, you just need to keep walking with him. Every single day of your life, you're going to need to know that God is real. Every single day of your life, you're going to need to keep that hand extended to Jesus and let him hold on to you and let him lead and guide you. Hey, your situation you're going through, that struggle maybe that you're going through, hey, you know what? Let me just say this. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. When I moved here from Maine, you know, there's a part of me, and I've borne it before behind the pulpit, but there's a part of me that sometimes distracts me. Once in a while, it distracts me. And I get thinking of the economy, and I get thinking of the housing market and different things. And when I left Maine to come here, and I'm where I'm supposed to be, amen. When I left Maine to come here, you know, I everything else was in order, but my house didn't sell. And you know, there are times, I'll admit it. Okay, there are times I'll sit in my office or I'll be driving and say, oh, Lord, you know how you feel. You can relate. Whatever situation, you know, you can relate. You got that problem in life, it just kind of distracts. Lord, I just don't know, man. I don't know if I can pay my bills this month. Hey, you know what? Lord, I don't know. In my house, you know, the economy stinks. God, there's 5 feet of snow up in Maine. Everywhere you look, it's white. God, you know, you could really warm it up to about 5 days of 80 degrees and melt the snow and have the yard look nice and different things and make it look attractive. God. But you know what? He just says, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Hey, everything's going to be all right, Sean. I'll let him call me Sean. Hey, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Hey, listen, there's nothing too hard that God can't handle. That situation that you're going through, maybe it's little. You know what? God can handle it. Maybe it's big, but God can handle it. Well, you say, but Pastor, he can't. I mean, there's so many people with so many problems in the world today. Yeah, he can handle it. He can handle every single problem. But you got to be willing to let him. Hey, number two, is anything too hard for the Lord concerning supply? I'm talking about your everyday need. Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says all your need. Notice the word need, okay? If you were to turn to it, if you want to turn to it, you may. I have it right here. The Bible says supply all your need. The word need, he will supply your need. You know, we have a tendency to say needs. We think needs, plural. God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And generally, a lot of our needs are just things that we want. But you know, God promises, hey, I'll supply your need Okay, what are your needs? Clothes on your back. What are your needs? Finances to get you through, to pay your bills, support your family. What do you need? Food on the table. I mean, in my case, I can use a little bit less food on the table, amen? I mean, I think I've indulged a little bit too much. But the truth of the matter is, what God promises, I will supply all your need. Okay, he'll supply your need. So is anything too hard for God? Can God supply my need? Yes, of course he can. He'll give you the clothes on your back. He'll give you the money that you need to survive and so forth. But we have a tendency to go ahead and mix our needs up with what we want. We have a tendency to go ahead and throw a whole bunch of stuff. And when we don't get the things that we feel we deserve, we say, okay, God, you must not love me. Truth of the matter is, he promised, I'll supply your need. The need is what is necessary to make you to help you to live. The need is that clothes, the clothes that you need. I mean, the everyday necessities of life. You know, I was on a bus trip coming back from Indiana about 5-6 years ago. I knew I shouldn't have taken a GMC bus. I mean, you know that. You should never take a GMC bus 1,100 miles away from Maine, but no. If you're a GMC fan today, I'm sorry. I am sorry. But no, the truth of the matter is, we hopped on a bus, yearly trip that we took to Indiana. And everything went well. We got out there, went to youth conference, did all the things that we're supposed to do, went to the amusement park with the kids. I had, about 35, 40 teenagers and adults on the bus from Maine to Indiana. Friday afternoon, the conference gets over, the week is ending, we board the bus, we get something to eat, we change into our travel clothes, we start heading back to Maine. We're going to because we're going to be driving all night to get back to Maine so we can be back there Saturday night, because mom and dad will be excited, I think, to see their teenager when they get back, maybe, but they'll be excited to see their teenager and so forth. And it was about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. We were coming in Ohio. We're driving through Ohio and so forth. And at that time, I mean, we know that there's Route 80 that could take you west across Pennsylvania. We also know that there's Route 90 that'll take you west. During that time, I had thought, I was watching the money. I handled the budget and so forth. And this trip at that time, it always is generally about $8,000 or $9,000 trip. That includes everything for the teens. Now, coming back, I said, man, we're doing all right on money. And I said, I think this time, at that time I was taking 80. 80 was less tolls and so forth. That's through Pennsylvania. I said, I think I'll take 90. And here you are, you're on 80, 90, and it veers off. Right there in the Cleveland area, it'll go this way to go 90. If you want to go straight, you take 80 through Pennsylvania. I'm being a little bit precise here because I want you to catch the gist of the story. About 3 or 4 miles before I got there, I was driving at that particular time. My other driver was back sleeping, and the other kids were sleeping. About 3 or 4 miles where I got there, I got thinking, normally I don't take 90, but, I could take 90. I got the extra money. We're doing pretty well. We've conserved this trip. I got thinking, why don't I take 90? Why not? It's kind of smoother. Won't have all the big hills and through Pennsylvania, so I thought, I'll take 90. Just as I got there, I got to the, it was like, I just said 90, but something told me, go the way you came, 80. I said, okay, whatever. It wasn't 3 or 4 miles from that exit point that I noticed that my headlights started blinking on and off. I go, that's not good. Okay, went another mile. It was blinking on and off more and more. I said, this is not good. And so we had another assistant pastor who was sleeping right behind me there, and I said, Brother Powell? He goes, yeah. Well, there's something seems to be wrong. He's kind of the mechanic of the two, or two of us. So there's something's not quite right with a bus. Anyways, what happened was a bus quit. Okay, a bus. I got it over. It quit. We got under there, and I got under there, and Pastor Powell got under there, and there's a housing. There's a piece there that holds the starter on between the engine block and the transmission. And the starter is on there, okay? I follow me. If I'm not quite mechanically and you're a mechanic out there, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know most of the time what I'm talking about. But I was under there. And the starter, for whatever reason, broke loose. I go, uh-oh. This is not good. Our bus couldn't start. I mean, this was a bad situation. Never, hardly ever. People, mechanics have said, that's the weirdest break in the world. Never. That just doesn't happen generally. But it did to us. Here I was a leader of this trip, and I go, okay, All right, I got 40 kids here. And of course, at that time, the kids said, Pastor Weeks, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Said, you know, everything's going to be fine. In my heart, I said, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. So I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm on 80, 90. I mean, I'm supposed to be this is a major breakdown. I am 1,000 miles away from home. This is not good. I said, this is not good. And just at that time, about that time, I made a few calls and because I had to go ahead and call a tow truck to get it towed. But during all that time, there was a fellow from First Baptist Church of Hammond. He has a ministry. You might have heard of him, Warren Storm, who has a ministry called Keep the Buses Rolling. For whatever reason, he was going to a church in Pennsylvania off 80. But after every youth conference, okay, he takes a ride down that because there's a lot of buses that leave and go that route. And he on purpose takes a ride to see if there's anybody broken down. And he's a mechanic. He's a master mechanic. I mean, he knows it all. He had the tools. He had everything. But 2:00 in the morning, you're not going to get the parts. So to make a long story short, we had to, in his greasy van that he has, we had to make several trips back and forth. My wife remembers this. Back and forth to a rest stop. We got him there. Finally, I knew of a church friend that was close by, and he came and helped us. And by 4:00 in the morning, our kids were settled in a church. And I got just about an hour or two of rest. Brother Storm calls me, Pastor Weeks, you ready to go find parts for this thing? It's about 6 in the morning. Said, yes, sir, you know. But the truth of the matter is, to make a long story short, a major breakdown. Truth be told, I had a little bit of fear. I did. I had a little fear. I said, man, I'm responsible for all these kids. This can happen. And it can happen. But you know what? We found the part that we needed. Yes, we had to go to another church who had a church bus just like ours. We took apart we separated the transmission. We got that bell housing, if you will. We got the parts, everything. But it was late that day, but we had everything. You know, we had everything back in order. We were on the road by like 7 or 8 o'clock that night. No, did we make it back on Saturday night? No, we made it back Sunday sometime. But the truth of the matter is, God supplied the need. I was a leader. I had 40 people. Now, let me just say this. You know what? Things happen. All right, and there's nothing to be fearful on a trip like that. You know, everything's okay. God will supply the need. I mean, so I don't want to water down a trip like that. That was a great trip. Teenagers enjoyed it. And by the way, the best thing that ever happened to my teenagers was they saw miraculously how God supplied. They'd ask me, Pastor, what are you going to do? I was not going to be the kind of leader. Well, I don't know. You know, and I said, you know what? We'll see what happens. We'll see what God does. That's all I could respond to. You know what? My teenagers, I'm 25, 30 teenagers on there. They saw God do something that only he could do. You know, Warren Storm didn't plan on, keep the buses rolling guy, Warren Storm. He didn't say, well, you know what? Calvary's up the road. No, he didn't. No. I believe it was God's providence that said, you know what? Got him going, and he saw us, and he filled the need. We found the parts. What I'm trying to say, hey, you know what? God will take care of the supplies you need. God, there's nothing too hard for God. Doesn't matter whether you're in a situation like that or whatever situation you're in, whatever needs you need, a roof over your head, the clothes on your back. Hey, God will supply your need. Why? Because nothing's too hard for him to go ahead and take care of. Amen. And then number 3, is anything too hard for the Lord concerning salvation? No. Of course not. You say, well, he can't save me because of all that I've done in my past. Oh, yes, he can. You say, I failed him time and time again, preacher. I know that. I can't go ahead. He doesn't love me. Oh, yeah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, you know what? You're part of that world. Hey, God loves you. Hey, don't you let the devil lie to you and say, you know what? Because of your past, you can't get saved. That's a lie of the devil. He'll do everything he can to go ahead. If you're unsaved this morning, he'll do everything he can to go ahead and shut your ears to the preaching of the Word of God. He'll do everything he can to harden your heart towards the things of God. Say, you can't be saved because you do this. You can't be saved because you do this. You can't be saved because you disobeyed mom and dad. Hey, you know what? That's a lie of the devil. And Jesus, he died for all sin. Jesus loves you. He died for the world for all sin one time. And all you have to do if you're not saved this morning is simply put your faith and trust in him. You just need to realize that you're a sinner, realize there's a price on sin, realize that Jesus, because he loves you, he paid the price of that sin, and all you have to do is simply open your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know if I died in my sin, hell would be my eternal destiny, but Jesus, you love me. You died on the cross, and I ask you to come into my heart and save me and forgive me of my sin. Don't you let this stinking devil go ahead and lie to you and say you can't get saved because of rebellion maybe in your life, because of other sin in your life. Don't you let him do it. He'll do everything he can to try to take you to hell with him. Don't you let him do it. Hey, you know, if he can save Paul, Saul at the time, who was a persecutor of Christians, he can save you this morning. If he could go ahead and save the maniac of Gadara who was possessed of the devil, you know what? He can save you this morning. I think of a preacher. His name is Deed Miller. Fine, fine man. Grew up in such a hard life. I mean, everything was just fed to him. I mean, as far as wrongdoing, wicked. His dad would feed him pornography as a kid and alcohol and drugs and smoke, all that stuff. I mean, he went through it all. You know what? As a hard man, he was married at the time, his adult life. He's a very hard man. He was a preacher, started a church in his area, knocked on his door, and said, hey, you know what, Dean? God loves you. He wants to save you. And Dean said, I don't know if God loves me because of all that I've been through. You know, I've done this, I've done... No. You know what? Jesus loves you. Hey, you know what? There's nothing too hard for God concerning salvation. You say, well, I'm not good enough to be saved. None of us are. None of us are. You say, well, I can't go ahead and get to heaven because I haven't worked hard enough. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. You can't work yourself to heaven. It's only by the grace of Almighty God. That's it. You say, well, if I become a Christian, that means I got to go to church every week. That means I got to read my Bible every day. I need to do this. Yeah, that's good. You need to. If you get saved, you ought to. You ought to grow in the Lord. Yes. But if you are using your Bible, I got to read my Bible every day. If you are saying I got to go to church every day, if you're saying I got to go ahead and take the sacraments, if you're saying I got to go to some confessional booth where a man, not God, not Jesus, but where a man called a priest can go ahead and absolve your sin, if you are relying on all that to go ahead and get you to heaven, that's works. It's by grace that he saved you. Hey, don't let the devil lie to you and say, you need to do this. You got to have a whole list of things to go ahead and get to heaven. No, you don't. All you need to do is simply open your heart and trust Jesus. For it's by grace that you're saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. God says, and I illustrated it this morning, God says salvation is a gift. If I was to go ahead, and Dylan, let me illustrate it. Could you come up and help me? It's okay. Dylan's my pal here. Come on up here and help me a minute. Let me illustrate it this way. You know, God says, listen, I want to give. Maybe you'd like this better. I know you'd like this better. Dylan, I want to give you this dollar bill. Okay? It's a gift. So, Dylan, if I give you this dollar bill and it's a gift, what do you have to do?
Accept it.
There. Okay? Now, wait a minute. That's what God says about salvation. God says it is the gift of God. God gives you eternal life as a gift. All you have to do is open your heart and accept it. Now, this is not what God, this is what God does not do. Now, Dylan, I gave you a dollar. It's a gift. But you know, I want you to go wash my pickup. Was that ever a gift?
No.
Because there's a requirement for it. God does not say that there's requirements for salvation. God says it's a gift, and all you have to do is receive it. And you know what? That's a gift to you. Spend it wisely. All right? Well, listen to me. Listen to me. You say, well, past weeks is only a buck. Hey, thank God. Amen? It's all right. Next time, it better be $20 in your illustration. Well, anyways, not today. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me. Listen to me. Is anything too hard for the Lord in any situation? You know what? The simple answer is, very short word, no. No. You're on the mountaintop today. You know what? The valley's going to come. But you know what? When you're in the valley, nothing's too hard. Nothing. You know why? Because he'll never. Oh, I love the promise. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. Never. I mean, that's a positive. Never, ever leave you or forsake you. I thank God that he promises that. Is anything too hard for the Lord concerning your needs, your supplies? No. Is anything too hard for the Lord concerning the situation that you're driving through in life right now? No. Is anything too hard for the Lord concerning salvation? No. Because he loved the world. He'll save the worst of the worst of the worst. He doesn't just go ahead and pick out, well, you know what, he's a pretty good guy. I'll save him. Huh. No, I don't think so. No. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. That means it doesn't matter who you are, you can come to Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. And we thank you for this truth that you taught Sarah and Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah, you can have a child. You know why? Because I'm God. I pray, dear God, that with some of the heavy hearts this morning, and I know there's some, that you would ease the burden, that you would be close, that you would be real to these dear people. Maybe there's some here today that they're on the mountaintop, they're saved, and boy, they're on the things are going pretty good. But I pray, dear God, that maybe this morning they'll hide this message in their heart. For when the time does come, and it will, unfortunately, but when the time does come, that mountaintop will become a valley once in a while, because that's life. That's just the way it is. We know, Jesus, that you experienced high days and you experienced low days on your in your earthly ministry. And you set the example of how we should handle our life. Maybe there's some here today, God, Holy Spirit of God. They don't know for sure if they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. Hey, you said there's nothing too hard concerning salvation. The worst of the worst, or even what the world would call the best of the best, you will save. Why? Because you so loved the world. You sent Jesus to die on the cross. I pray, God, that if there's some lost soul here today, they will not leave these doors. They will not leave this church without knowing for sure that they're on their way to heaven. I pray, dear God, that you work on their heart. And I pray, God, that they won't look at the circumstances or people around you, God, that they won't be embarrassed. But if they're not for sure they're saved this morning, that they'll come forward. And at invitation time, maybe indicate to me that, Pastor Weeks, I'm not saved. I want to be saved. I want the gift of eternal life. And I want somebody to show me from the Bible how to be saved. I pray, dear God, if there's some lost soul like that today, that they won't worry about the circumstances beside them. You see, Jesus, you died a horrible death on the cross. In some ways, it was an embarrassing death, but you were not so embarrassed but to take the sin on that cross. And I pray, dear God, that we won't be so embarrassed to seal our eternal security today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here. The past 2 weeks, I'm saved. I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. But there's some things in my life. Heartaches. Some heartbreaks. Some disappointments have come. Maybe you need to deal with it somehow. Let me plead with you. There's nothing too hard for God. Maybe you need to come forward this morning and just lay it all on the altar and say, okay, God, it's you and me again. I need you to help bear this with me. Maybe here today, you say, past weeks, I'm on a mountaintop experience. I'm saved, on my way to heaven. Things are going good. Maybe you just need to decide this morning, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and hide this in my heart. I'm going to come forward and, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do some business with you. I'm going to hide this in my heart because I know that one day. Maybe here today, you're not for sure you're saved. Oh, let me plead with you, don't leave this church without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Don't do it. Don't do it. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What, shall we stand to our feet? No one looking around. No one's looking, but let's stand to our feet. The invitation in just a moment is going to play. Maybe you're here, you're not saved. I'm going to stand right now in front of my pulpit on the main floor. I plead with you, don't let the circumstances around you, don't let anybody, don't think anybody's, nobody's going to laugh at you if you make a first move. If you're unsaved this morning, you just indicate to me, shake my hand, say, Pastor Weeks, I want to be saved. I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. And we'll have somebody sit down with you and show you from the Bible. I plead with you, don't be embarrassed by that move. Maybe here today you say, Pastor, I just need to do some business with God. You taught us this morning, the Bible says it's nothing too hard. I need to do some business with God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the music's going to play at this time. Won't you come?
Father, we love you. We thank you for today, God. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this message. Holy Spirit, we believe you worked. I pray, dear God, that you would comfort hearts this morning. I know as their pastor,